Reading from the Gospel of John, two brief passages, all taken from the section of the Gospel of John that is called the Farewell Discourse. Jesus is preparing the disciples for the events that are going to take place during Holy Week, for his arrest, his death, his resurrection, and then eventual ascension into heaven. So listen first to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. Then we'll skip over two chapters to chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Listen especially for reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to God's word. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Chapter 16. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Sometimes listening to sermons can be difficult, if not downright dangerous. Difficult part comes from an old preacher's story. I know I've said it here before, but indulge me, and the young people aren't here, so they don't have to say how corny that is. There was a family sitting in church, and one of the children looked up to the parent and said, "You know, Mommy, what does it mean when the preacher takes off his watch and sets it down next to him on the pulpit?" To which the mother said, "Absolutely nothing." Well, part of what can be difficult about preaching is if it goes on too long. Well, imagine. This is a biblical story. Imagine this person by the name of Eutychus, E-U-T-Y-C-H-U-S, Eutychus, whatever you want, Eutychus, I guess that's it. We'll call him that, who was sitting under the Apostle Paul's preaching one evening. The Apostle was getting ready to leave that place the next morning. He was going to sail out, and so he had much to share with the church. The church was gathered in someone's home, and evidently it was quite a large home. You can read about this in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. And as the Apostle Paul was going on and on and droning on and on into the evening, and actually preached not only all evening, but preached all night on into the time he was going to leave in the morning. And you think you've heard some long sermons here. Well, this poor fellow, Eutyches, was sitting up in one of the upper floors. I guess there were a couple floors in this house, and sitting near a window, and he fell asleep. And he fell out the window. Read it right there. It's in the Bible. And he died. Don't sleep. Well, fortunately, the Apostle Paul raised him from the dead. You know, don't count on that happening here if you're up in the balcony. But that's a true story. He listening to the Apostle Paul. Well, Increase Mather was one of the early Puritans in our country, in New England, and he was one of the early presidents of Harvard. preached a sermon to his congregation. Evidently, they were having problems staying awake. Now, Puritan sermons were not all night, but they were long. I mean, they had the hourglass there, and they would preach that hour. And sometimes, if they were getting rolling, they'd say, "Let's give it a turn," and they would keep going. The pastoral prayer could last almost up to an hour sometimes, and then they'd come back in the afternoon after lunch and do it all again. Well, he preached a sermon, and this is entitled Sleeping at Sermons. Now, I read it. He was dead on serious, but whenever I read this, it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, so for us moderns. But he was serious in what he was saying. So listen to what Increase Mather says about sleeping at sermons. "We may take notice that the nature of man is woefully corrupt and depraved. Else they would not be so apt to sleep when the precious truths of God are dispensed in his name. Yea, and men are more apt to sleep then than at another time. Some woeful creatures have been so wicked as to profess that they have gone to hear sermons on purpose so they might sleep, finding themselves at such times much disposed that way. Yea, some will sit and sleep under the best preaching in the world." And then he goes on and talks about the Apostle Paul and Eutychus. How about that? Some woeful creatures will come to church to hear sermons because they find it's easier to sleep than during a time. So just so you know, our sermons are on the website, and you can get them if you're having trouble sleeping. You know, some might want that ocean in the background. Well, my voice has sent a number of people into slumberland, so you may feel free to do that. Well, listening to God's word, the reason that Increase Mather and the Puritans were, you know, that he would go out of his way to preach a sermon was a phrase within that, because what he was emphasizing was that during the sermon, the precious truths of God are being shared. Therefore, you need to stay awake, stay alert, and listening. We have talked about the nature of God's word, the scripture, over these past several weeks. We've looked at this passage in Taylor read for us in 2 Peter, rather, that references the event that we celebrate today, the transfiguration, that Peter says that he was on the mountain with a couple of the other apostles and saw this event, and shored up his faith and in the truth of and relevancy of what Christ was teaching. But then he said this, that you must understand this, verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We've also looked at a section of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, where the Apostle Paul says that all Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed, references there to the Holy Spirit. So where we've come, if you've been here and been able to stay awake and have been listening to the sermons over the past week, we've been emphasized that God has spoken to us and continues to speak to us through the Holy Spirit inspired Word of God, the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Christian Scriptures, the Bible. That's the emphasis that we have been talking about. God hasn't just spoken once for all. Of course, he did speak definitively in his Son Jesus Christ, that is, the Word made flesh, but God continues to speak through God's word. Now, sometimes there are things going on within a liturgy or the words of a service that you might not necessarily be aware of. And one of the things that can go on and can show kind of what one's attitude towards the Bible is the way a person introduces the reading of the scripture. Now, for us here, and enough time has gone by that I think we just have different words that are used. You'll notice that the title of the sermon is Listen, Blank, God's Word. That is because there's different, what is that, preposition there? in the middle. There's different prepositions that are used that can just flavor the reading a little bit and shape it that we might not even be aware of. For example, when I read the scripture, and for many who read the scripture, what is said at the beginning of the scripture is, listen to God's word. You get that preposition? To. Reading that means when we're going to hear this scripture read, we are hearing God's word. It is objectively God's word because all scripture is inspired by God. That's the teaching that we've been had. But you will hear sometimes, and the person who's saying it may or may not even be aware of the distinction, but in our church, this was a key transition in the liturgy books that we use, the Book of Common Worship or the Worship Book at this time, back in the 1970s, that reflected more of the theology of the 50s and the 60s, because you will still hear it today, and again, you'll people may not even necessarily say it, mean it, or understand it. So if you've said this when you've been up here being a lector, you know, we don't think you're a heretic, and that's okay. Not for that reason. I mean, there may be other reasons that you're a heretic. Some would say, not listen to the Word of God, but listen for the Word of God. Some of you shaking your head and recognize this. Now, that distinction may not be, might not seem like all that much of a distinction, but it is. And again, for our ears, it may not mean any distinction at all. I keep saying that over and over again because at one time, it really did make a distinction. People, especially people with any kind of theological knowledge, would listen to that out when somebody introduced the scripture. In fact, in our new Book of Common Worship, the phrase isn't even in there, listen to or for the Word of God. It just says, you know, the lesson is, or, you know, thanks be to God. This is the Word of the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't even have a prep, you know, Word of the Lord. Is it the Word of the Lord for the Word of the Lord? Well, what that theology tended to emphasize, and it comes out of Neo-Orthodox and the major theologian Karl Barth, he would say that not every word that we hear read or that we read is necessarily God's word, but the scripture contains God's word. Okay? You see the difference between the scripture is God's word, the scripture contains God's word. Or the Barthian phrase is that the scripture is witness to God's word. God's word for Barth was Christ, the Word made flesh. So the Bible is the witness that we have to God's word. Or so it contains God's word, it witnesses for God's word. Or some would even say that this is the words that men and women have written down, and it only is God's word for us when it becomes God's word, when we hear it. And not everything that we're necessarily hearing may be God's word. But through the ministry of the Holy Spirit who inspired the words to be written, that same Spirit can act on us so that when we hear the scripture read, and the words may or may not necessarily be God's word, it becomes God's word for us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have I totally confused you? That was my goal. No. Just subtle distinction. It's very, very subtle. Is the Bible God's word? Does the Bible contain God's word? Does it become God's word? Well, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very important. In fact, John Calvin wrote this in the Institutes. He said, without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the Word can do nothing. He says this, the Word of God is like sun shining upon all those to whom it is proclaimed, but with no effect among the blind. And then he goes on to say, now all of us are blind by nature in this respect. Accordingly, it, meaning the Word of God, cannot penetrate into our minds unless the Spirit, as the inner teacher, through his illumination, makes entry for it. continuing a little bit, it says, it now remains to pour into the heart itself what the mind has absorbed. For the word of God is not received by faith if it flits about in the top of the brain, but when it takes root in the depth of the heart. Calvin is saying that, and for Calvin, when the word was read, it was God's word that was being read. He would say, listen to the word of God. But he would say that because of the effect of sin and our natural blindness, we're not hearing it as the word of God. And so we need the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make it something that we receive as God's word into our heart. So what Jesus said about the role of the Holy Spirit in those passages from the farewell discourse that I read, said this, a summary, the Holy Spirit will teach believers all things and bring to their remembrance all that Jesus taught them. We read that, chapter 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit will witness to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Chapter 16, verse 8. The Holy Spirit will guide believers into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but will speak whatever he hears. In the process, he will also glorify Jesus. Chapter 16, verse 14. So what the scripture is saying, what Jesus is saying, is that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is important. That no matter what preposition we use to introduce the reading of the scripture, listen to the word of God, listen for the word of God, that the word of God is not going to come and penetrate our minds and hearts without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's like it falls on deaf ears, or it's such a light from God, but the light can't be seen if we're spiritually blind and affected by sin. Those are high Calvinist doctrines. Listen to the word of God. I want to make this distinction for us. I want to make the distinction that when the scripture is read by us at home individually, and especially when we read it on Sunday mornings as part of the worship service, that it is an act of worship to listen to it. It's our responsibility to have, as CPNS would say, put your listening ears on for the kids. Well, for us, we need our listening ears when the scripture is read from lectern or pulpit, because I believe, and many, many do, I'm the majority on this one, that scripture is the word of God. And that when we're hearing lay people, as you are, Taylor read today, whatever pastor is reading, whoever is reading it, is reading God's word to the congregation, and it is an act of worship. And so when we listen to the word of God read, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would not only open our ears, but would open our minds and open our hearts. But we do something else with the word of God during worship. We hear the word of God proclaimed in a number of different ways. We hear it through the anthems that the choir sings. We hear it and read it through the hymns that we sing ourselves. These are all parts of the service of worship that we call part of the ministry of the word. But we hear it through the preaching of the sermons. What you're doing right now, what I am doing, what you are doing, is an act of worship. We are worshiping God by hearing what is God's word read and proclaimed. But I would suggest to you that there is a difference qualitatively, if not quantitatively, between when the scripture is read, we listen to the word of God. And I would say that when the Bible is preached, we listen for the word of God to come. The words that I'm speaking may or may not be the word of God to you. They would only be that if they are consistent and conform to what we have as God's word. And so we ask ourselves, does the sermon, is the one who is preaching, is it based on the scripture? Is it consistent with the scripture? You see, you're all a judge of that. I'm not an authority that tells you what to believe, and you have to believe it because I tell you to believe it. No. I'm a person who God has called to take what God has given us and given to the church, God's word, and preach it and proclaim it, but you're the one who has to judge whether it's God's word or not. You have eyes. You can read God's word. You have ears and hear it proclaimed. And so you can say, well, you know, that was really God's word today we were hearing. Or, I don't believe that what he or she was saying really was consistent with God's word. So whenever we gather to do this, we have to ask ourselves, is God speaking? Is God speaking right now to us? Through Lou Mitchell's words. And every preacher who's gathering in pulpits all over the world. God is speaking God's word, and we need to listen for it. Is it there? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And I'll tell you, what convinces me that it is, sometimes at least, is that there are times, and you've probably seen me in here, where there are sometimes I get into sermons, and especially if I'm not using an outline or notes, you know, this happens more than you know, I can't remember what the heck I'm going, what am I doing with this? Where did I intend to go with that? And there have been some times when, you know, like the 4 and 2 and becomes, I think, there's the glazed over look on some people. We're just not getting through here today. Well, I've had whole sermons that I've preached where I've thought there's been the glazed over look. And I've even said to you on occasion, look, let's just stop right here. It's just not working today. We'll come back at it next week. That's one of the benefits of being a preacher who preaches week in and week out. We'll come back at it again. And invariably, when I've thought that, or when I have left, when I've walked down the stairs and thought, I really didn't do a good job today. I really blew it, God. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared enough. I got distracted. It's wherever I am in my own circumstances of life, God, I got in the way of your word today, Lord. I'm sorry. Inevitably, at the door or later in the week, someone will say to me, I really needed to hear what you said today. And I have to say, well, it must have been God, because it sure as heck wasn't me. Or I'll know it's God's word speaking, because later in the week, someone will come to me and say, you know, when you said this, 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 I really needed to hear that. God really spoke to me. And I'll go back through my memory of the sermon, and I'll say, I don't ever remember saying da, 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 da. But it's what was heard. It was God's word that in the act of worship, when we pray and count on the presence of the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, that we would even dare to say that something supernatural, above nature, can happen. For we're hearing the word of God that God's Holy Spirit inspired men and women to write out of their own personalities, out of their own understanding of diction and language, and some of the Greek is of a higher standard in the New Testament in some books than others. Some's more, you know, the First John, the beginning of First John is about the simplest Greek there is. The book of Hebrews is about the most complicated Greek there is. But each of it is God's word. And when it's proclaimed, consistent to that word, it is also the word of God and God speaking. So what do we do? Well, our responsibility then is to listen as an act of worship, as a part of our own discipleship, as a responsibility, is to listen to God's word read, sung, we sing, proclaimed as an act of worship, and we bring our best self to it. There's more of a possibility for me, I think, of God speaking, although maybe I should. I want to bring my best self to the pulpit. But I know that whether it's my best self or my worst self, God can still speak. And the same to you. It's our responsibility to bring our best self to church. But be careful. Remember I said listening to sermons can be dangerous. Not just because you might fall asleep and fall out the window, but because through or even despite what's being preached, God might speak to you and change your life. As I said last week, it did for me. So we have a responsibility. You can prepare by looking at the text ahead of time. They're published every week in that weekly news blurb we send out. And we need to not only be willing to listen, but to take it in. To open not just our ears and our minds, but our hearts as well. There's something you can do as part of your preparation that will help me as well. Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of the Pulpit, Prince of Pulpiteers. He was a British preacher of Great Britain in the 19th century. Used to pack them in this great tabernacle. Still read his sermons printed, and they're just marvelous and marvelous. He was asked one time the secret, what he thought was the secret of his obviously very successful ministry. And after a moment's pause, he said this, and with this we'll close. And you think about this. He said this: my people pray for me. My people pray for me. That's when God's word can be proclaimed and heard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.